Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I guess I'll just welcome everyone to another session here of Booker T. Washington Speaks on the African American Family Room of From. And today we're having a very, very interesting topic for yourselves. And I want to say, first of all, this is Dr. Haleem Mustafa, co-host to the senior great grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington, who's sponsoring this particular show segment entitled Booker T. Washington Speaks. So basically, the topic is we want your thoughts on world heavyweight champion Jack Johnson, who was recently posthumously received a presidential pardon from President Donald Trump. Now, we also have a second piece to this question in terms of, let me just flip my paper where I made my note, is that Jack Johnson was convicted in 1913 of violating the Mann, M-A-N-N, Act, which made it illegal to transport women or girls, and I think white girls more than black, across state lines for purposes of prostitution or debauchery or any other immoral purpose. So in any event, that's the topic for tonight's show, and we certainly will hope that people will have the courage to stand up and say things that will really bring some understanding to all of us. This topic is even relevant today, and I won't continue my monologue, but I'm going to turn it over to the professor, who is the host of this great show. Professor, all yours, sir.
Okay, good evening. We want to say to our audience, thank you for joining us this evening. I am Marshall Musa Muslim Abui, and I am the host of the African American Family Forum, or Family Room Forum, the setting that we are actually in is what's called a virtual, meaning it's not existing in a material sense, but it is existing in another sense. We are connected because of the technology of the telephonic connection and the internet, so that people all over the world are able to be in this virtual family room. And our whole concept is based upon the idea of a group of family members, extended family members, and even neighbors and friends can come together and sit around enjoying whatever they like to enjoy when they're with their friends. It may be popsicles, it may be pie, it may be dinner, it may be snacks, or it may be just drinking a bottle of good water, or maybe not doing anything, especially those of us that are fasting during this time. But we're, you know, not fasting from knowledge, so we're sitting around and we're talking about things that we know need to be talked about. So this evening, we picked a topic that may be controversial for some, and it may be very, very uplifting and encouraging for others. Everyone has an opinion, and all of our opinions don't always mesh and agree, but we do provide a forum where we can express our opinions. I do want to welcome our special guest tonight, Imam Dr. Murad Muhammad, my very dear brother and very close friend and supporter. And he is someone that's very familiar with the fight business, as we call it, the boxing industry, and would be more equipped to talk about the prowess and the ability and the demonstrated champion type of qualities that Jack Johnson had. So we want to hear from him. So we want to bring him on right now. And you have the mic, Brother Dr. Murad Muhammad. Please go ahead and share your thoughts with us on the topic. Let me just reiterate it right quick. What are your thoughts on world heavyweight champion Jack Johnson posthumously receiving a presidential pardon from President Donald Trump? Please go ahead, sir.
First of all, I want to thank you for inviting me, that you have Haleem there, Dr. Haleem, as well as yourself, two men that have the ability to host a show such as this here. And may God be with you and grant you success on your venture in talking to those in radio land that may have a different opinion. I try my best, and I say with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, but I try my best, the utmost, that we would be able to see if we can bring this into perspective of why people does not have the understanding of our president of the United States of America. We are taught all at all. We doesn't know about these certain things. But Jack Johnson, whether it was yesterday or 60 years ago, it was the day that he was pardoned. And that's a great hurdle for him and his family, for all that he went through, his struggle in trying to be who he is. You got to understand that my mother, my father, and back then in the 30s, we loved Jack Johnson because of his ability to show we can win in spite of the difficulties we was going through. So he was our hero. And no one could step through those ropes that didn't look like us, of course. And he would just beat them up and he would do things to them unbelievable. And they tried their best to get him beat. So they had to find other ways of putting him in jail and stopping what he was doing. And the reason he took on white women, because they told him, you better not get caught with one. And anything you told Jack Johnson he shouldn't do, he did it anyway. And so he was rubbing it in. He would walk with all these females. He wasn't selling them. They say he was, but those was his females, and they was in love with him. They didn't like that, especially back then. However, he opened the door for the great champions like Joe Louis, Ray Robinson, including the greatest Muhammad Ali. Wanted to be a winner. No one likes a loser. So I commend the President of the United States. He is our president, and we have to respect that. If you didn't want him to be president, you should have came out and voted. If you would have voted, he would not have won. But we didn't come out, and so therefore he is the president, and we have to respect that. I know Donald Trump very well because I used to raise millions for his hotels in Atlantic City, and I used to come into his office and he would hug me. But he didn't write my checks. Nick Rivers, who was his controller, used to write my checks, very healthy checks. I also reside at Trump Towers. At those towers, I had an organization for Roy Jones Jr. when we used to ring the bell at the Wall Street. And so I don't know Donald Trump as the president, but before he was just Donald Trump, he did a lot for the heavyweight champion Michael Tyson. He did a lot for Michael, and Michael, great friend of his, and he spent a great deal of money, of his money, to put Michael Tyson against Michael Spinks. And Michael Spinks walked away with $11 million. Well, Michael Tyson walked away with at least about $16, $17 million. And that was one of the highest paid there ever was for two young men coming up. And he had a love for his wife and his mother, Mr. Trump did. So we have to give him his props. When one do good, he's not a devil. He's not intelligent enough to be a devil. So we can't call him that. Do he say things that he ought not to say? Well, that's how men are. But on this incident, overall, God would judge him. He would put him on a scale and judge him. We can't put him on a scale. We don't know all the good he has done, and we see some of the bad he has done. But God said, if you outweigh 51%, you make it to heaven. So we don't know if it's 51, we don't know if it's 52, and we don't know if it's 35. That's not our judge. But as long as he's alive, he has a right to repent. So is he repenting? In this case, he is, because he gave Jack Johnson something that he wanted. He's gone, but his ancestors is gone also, but his offsprings are still alive. So they should be ecstatic. And as I heard you say, Imam Musa, Muslim Abui, I hear very well, my hearing is very acute. You said that one of the family members wanted to grab and hug Donald Trump. Now, what about all the things that we didn't like he has done? It doesn't matter. When one do something good, you have to give them their props. And you have to thank him for what he has done. And hopefully that would send a message. It set a precedent that these presidents should pardon a whole lot of people. You don't have to go way back there. There's so many of our children that have been in prison unjustly. There's so many people that he can pardon while he's the president of the United States to give them a new shape where they can begin to start a new life. We all make mistakes, but do we get up? And that's why I have a love for your host there, Brother Imam, Haleem. Haleem could tell the world all that knowledge he had, all that education he received, his ability to perform in society, he gave up, and he went down. There's two men I respect, him and Tara Perry. Those are two men that went into the street. Matter of fact, your host told me, and I'll never forget it, he said people was going back telling his wife and children. He said, you know where Haleem is? He's acting in the streets as if he's a bum, as if he gave up. That motivated him because they thought he was acting. He wasn't acting. But he came back out of that and trusting God, and look at him today. Look at Tara Perry. Tara Perry was living in automobiles, gave up on life. And he said, until that little boy died that was molested, he will never live. So you got to die before you live. Haleem is living. That world that he fell to, he died. That world that Tara Perry fell, he died. The things that Donald Trump is doing, he's trying to clean up. He's trying to clean up. And I believe today, we could be insignificant, but we are talking about the president of the United States, Donald Trump, and giving him his props for what he has done that should be done years ago. That's my humble opinion.
Assalamu alaikum to you, brother. I want to say to you, Brother Murad, Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak to you.
Ramadan Kareem Mubarak to you, my brother.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I in terms of what I kind of looking at a couple different things, right? We had a show with the wedding of Prince Charles African-American lady about 2 weeks ago or a week ago. And then I want to reference the 1954 situation where a movie was made on a Caucasian man and a black woman getting married in Louisiana, and the in Louisiana courts actually going through and attempting to put him in jail, and he actually filed a lawsuit and won the lawsuit and the right to marry his choice of love. Now, in the sense of what I see from Jack Johnson's perspective, he's like a phenom, as you know, like Muhammad Ali, a really profound talker. And he walks his he backs his talk up by walking folks out the ring and slow walking them and beating them down. All right. Now, so what I know this, and I'm not racist at all because I have all the cultures in me, and I won't go to my bloodline, but that's a fact. I do have all the cultures in me, and I know that we are the original people, and I'm not even going there. But imagine this: for years you have this dangling meat like Pavlov's dogs, where wing bell would ring and the dogs would get excited and salivate. The food that's coming. In the same sense, white women were dangled in front of black men all of our slave lifetimes. And this became for us a really, really deep desire to have one. Now, so when all this stuff is happening, what do you expect a man to do? A woman's a woman, and one that is like being shown on the movies and all the stardom and all these things that are like, this is like the real woman persona. And the black woman didn't have that persona that in this society. And so he actually took, from my perspective, he took on a beauty queen that he wanted because he wanted to show people who he was. I can have any woman I want because I'm a man, right? And then of course, then now, you know, the Mann Act or whatever that is named after, M-A-N Act, that's like, for me, that's like a man acting like a man to me. So he was being a man, and the Mann Act prosecuted him. In the sense, because he took a woman that was going to be his wife that had chosen him, right? Because women don't go with you if they don't choose you. And when he got so-called arrested, did the woman say, hey, help, rape? Help, rape, help me, rape? Did she say anything like that? If that didn't happen, then that's no crime in my eyes. I'm a former cop, right? And laws don't change in that simple little area there. It has to be a victim. So this is like a victimless crime that he was actually prosecuted under. And so I'm saying to the world that today is time for us to live in the truth. And I'm glad that Donald Trump certainly did what he did, because I had really no insight as to his reality because I didn't meet him, didn't know him. And I'm really glad to hear that you met him and you know him, and he's doing things from what he feels is right. And despite the fact that, you know, he's out there on the opposite ends of a lot of perception that we have, and I'm guilty of that myself. So the thing in my last little comment is this. See, we don't know how God uses us. He takes us through all kind of different hurdles. Huh? He takes us through all kind of hurdles, all kind of tragedies, all kind of lessons to learn so we learn how to act like human beings. And that's my last comment. So he's come to his humanity in bringing other folks who just don't like black folks because of all of this isms and schisms and racism and all this other religious dogma that has caused people to perceive us as a people that's not worthy of anything and don't not untrustworthy. But Donald's taken, as you know from what you said, you know him on a very, very personal level. I'm on the outside looking in, and what I see from the outside is a person that didn't have a heart, but I'm hearing differently, so that's my comments right now.
But all right.
Do I supposed to respond to that, or... That was just
this is a free forum. Anyone can speak as long as nobody else is talking. Just jump right in there and come on back.
Well, you know, brother, I thought I was all confused growing up. I followed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I realized in my later life that he was a master. He taught us that the white man was the devil. And I realized he didn't have time to teach us what was in the forest. So he said, stay away from the snakes. But there's garden snakes that will not bite you and is not poison. But he didn't have time to teach us that. He had time to teach us that some white folks are not devils. But no one likes the devil. I don't care how educated you are, how uneducated you are. I don't care how rich or how poor. No one loves the devil. So it was only then, in 1930, that we began to love ourselves because we thought we was inferior. So he told us that they was the devil. So we didn't trust them no more. But who was us? You said you the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, father of civilization, God of the universe. That shocked us. Now we felt we were superior than the white man. We was no longer inferior. But then before he passed away, he said, don't treat people by the color of his skin. That was a major turnaround, 360. Don't teach people by the way they look as far as their skin is concerned. Your brother is your brother if he treats you like a brother. And your brother is your enemy if he treats you like your enemy. And I begin to think, you know what? He's right. We was in kindergarten. We was counting colors, black and white. You know, you learn that in kindergarten, what color you are. However, but we needed that to give us some hope in life. Well, likewise with the black man that comes into money. You got to understand, Malcolm went to jail for 11 years for prostitution. He would have went for a year for a black prostitution, but it was white women why he went to jail. But why did he go to jail? Hell, I said it. God works in mysterious way on him. And so Malcolm went to jail to save his life. God put him there. But he began to read. He began to study. So he wasn't a revolution, because if he was a revolutionary, what would have happened? He goes to one end and start all over. No. Malcolm evolved from being with white women. Malcolm evolved from drugs. Malcolm evolved from being a pimp or a hustler. Yeah, his names are named after schools are named after him. So a man sometimes got to be shocked into reality that the female has no such thing of nationality and colors. They all come in this world for a purpose. Every last one of us come through that womb. And it doesn't say a black wound or a brown wound or a yellow wound. All the wounds are the same. But the slave master made us think that white women were different than black women. Yes, financially, educationally, even the culture might be better than us the way we was brought up. But the nature never changes. So unknowing, we are finding out, and they're finding out, whoa, this black man, he is something. I prefer to have him than to have one that looks like me, white. And the black man is saying, my God, they told us to stay away from this, and we realize they just like the black woman in their nature. But I'm a little different. See, the jaybirds fly with the jaybirds. The yellow birds fly with the yellow birds. The black birds fly with the black birds. I just love my black woman, not because I'm prejudiced, because my grandmother is white. My grandmother is Jewish. So why do I like the black woman? Because she suffered the bounds of suffering. She went through so much hell, nobody took care of her. Matter of fact, she took care of us. And if she would have told us how she took care of us, we would have been dead trying to get to that slave master. So she had to keep all that in. Now today we are risen to the like of being a free spirit, to be able to be all that we can be in the world, and we leave her behind. I can't do it. I'm sorry. And I met a lot of beautiful, gorgeous Caucasian women, and give them their compliment. But I just cannot leave my black woman behind. That's not prejudice. That's conscious, self-conscious. Of kind. Like Muhammad said, we should love ourselves in kind. So that's the only reason I do it. It has nothing to do with I believe that there are white women that's not no good. There's no good black women. So anyway, the point I'm saying to you, Aline, is that we have a ride. And we keep talking about the ride. And I'm going to leave you with this because I'm listening, and this is a great show because I didn't know I was going to talk like this, but something says, tell them, allow me to say this to you. Lot said, oh Allah, there's more people in Sodom and Gomorrah that is good. He said, well, go ahead, bring me 10. He couldn't do it. Bring me 5. He couldn't do it. Bring me 2. He couldn't do it. He said, get out of there, because I'm getting ready to destroy it. Get out of there. But don't look back. He said, don't look back. And the female looked back. And she turned into the pit of salt because she didn't do what God told her. Now, if you look at that, you would say a pit of salt. God took his crown of creation and turned it into salt. But if you dig a little deeper, it only means when you look back is you love that world. Because why would you look back? So if you look back, you get angry with yourself, what you've done in that world, and you become salty. Your grandmother says it all the time. What does she say? Don't you jump salty with me, boy. So that's all that meant, that we should not look back. We should go forward, because God says, and I'll quote him, from the present to the future. He never say from the rare, from yesterday news. Yes, history is the reward of all research, but it's history, meaning it's gone, it's over, it's not coming back again. Don't forget your history, but move on. Create a new way about yourself in life. And so I can say openly, I taught my children to be black-minded, not a racist, but you be black-minded, love your own. My son jumps up and marry a Caucasian woman. She's so good to him that he moved to a country that is 4 or 5 below the zero, and he's raised in Florida. I said, man, this woman must be unbelievable. And I just heard him write, I will give her anything. I love this woman, and they got children. Turned to my wife and say, at least he's not a racist. We didn't raise a racist. But that woman's heart, that woman's spirit, that woman's soul is the same of us. Because why? We're all from the children of Adam. Whether we like it or not, we are brothers and sisters in this world. That's my humble opinion. And I want to thank you all. You got a good show. I don't want to dominate anyone's show. But if I said anything to hurt anyone, I didn't mean that from the bottom of my heart. I ask you to forgive me. But if I said anything to allow you to stand up in your soul, stand up in your spirit, stand up in your alfitra, the nature in which you was created, stand up in your consciousness, your taqwa. Don't give that to me. Give that to the will of Allah. Thank you, Brother Musa, Imam Musa. You know I love you. And Haleem, you're doing a wonderful job in being his host. And once again, I reiterate, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and grant you all success, because this is what the people need out there in radio land. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you. Thank you. And you, we will be hearing from, he's gone now. He had another engagement. It's Ramadan, and it's time to break the fast for the Muslims that have been fasting. So he's gone so he can participate in the fast breaking dinner. It was one of the Muslims, but we thank him for coming on tonight. And you'll hear from him again. I worked with him to produce another series of shows on another phone number, but he'll be coming on this show again. So we thank him. Now we have other guests that have joined us, and you can respond to what he said, or you can go directly and respond to the topic. Brother Haleem, could you go ahead and reiterate the topic for our guests that just joined us?
Yes, yes. Your topic is your thoughts on world heavyweight champion Jack Johnson posthumously receiving a presidential pardon from Donald Trump. That's the topic. Your thoughts on that. And there's been some, you know, some comments from myself and from our brother who just got off, Brother Murad Muhammad. And so the idea, I don't know how much further, but Jack Johnson was convicted in 1913 of violating the Mann Act, which made it illegal to transport women and I said white, but we're going to just say women in just a general sense, across state lines for purposes of prostitution or debauchery or any other immoral purpose. That's this, the topic and also a summation of what is something to think about and discuss.
So the mics are open for anyone that has called in. If you would like to respond to that particular topic, what is your thinking on the presidential pardon? Now, I will mention this, that there have been already some statements made that are different than the one you heard our brother Murad say. One of the writers that wrote a letter in the New York Times today by the name of Mr. Roth, Alan Roth, which sounds to me like he could possibly be Caucasian. But he believes, and I'm not saying I agree with him, I'm just giving you a more fuller picture of what's going on. He believes that that this is politically motivated. And I will say this, maybe you don't know this, but this same case came up before President Obama, who I greatly admire, for consideration, and he turned down the opportunity to give Jack Johnson the pardon that Mr. Trump gave him. So I just wanted to make sure that we understand that this is something that has been in the works for some time. President Bush was he was in favor of it, but the Congress wasn't at that time. And then later, we went through several other iterations and finally got to Donald Trump's desk and said, yes, I'm going to do this thing. So what are your thoughts about that? That's one of our regular panelists has come on, but I'm going to ask you to hold on just a minute, Mr. Ken, because we have some guests. It's their first time, and I want to just, because some of them may have to leave in a minute, to give us their thoughts. So, Dr. O, I see you are online. What are you thinking of? I think it's Dr. O. Is that you online, Dr. O?
Yes, I am. But somebody else was talking. So
I think you have the floor. I think you have the mic. Yeah, just make sure you're close to your phone so we can hear you well.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes. Try to stay as close to the I know you may be moving around, but try to stay as close to the phone as you can. Don't lose.
Well, I heard what Brother Murad said, and I think that every generation finds out that we may not, if we really believe in God, we may not get the leader we want, but we may get the leader that we need. And if you go way back into the Bible, you find out that God said he was going to send Nebuchadnezzar, who was brutal, and but that was what the people needed at that time to get them to turn over. And then later on, he gave them Cyprus, who was very kind. Now, where am I going with this? For many, many years, I've been in this country almost four decades. That's almost 40 years. And the funny part of it is that there is a constant denial on a conscientious level that there is nothing like racism. Even today, people say, well, if you're black, you're crying wolf, racism is no longer. And what President Trump has managed to do that President Obama couldn't do, although he was such an African American, is to actually exhibit, showcase, and call out racism as it is in this country. Maybe so hard. In terms of him,
he drank all the glass of water.
And that died. I don't see how it helps the boxer. I don't even see how it helps the minorities. In this. It's all well and good, but why even pardoning somebody who did not really truly break the law? He went across the state line with somebody he was dating. I think that's something that is, people say, well, this is a shameful history. How you pardon me when I did not do wrong? And we are jumping up and down that he was pardoned. The question is, if they can just make sure that another prejudice, injustice does not continue to occur due to your religion, due to your gender, due to your color of your skin, that would be a lot better. And that would be a lot more tribute to him. Now, in fairness to President Trump, I heard him and his son-in-law are really working hard trying to revamp the prison system. Well, let's see how that works. I mean, that's how I see it. I see it as a political move, true, but I also see it as something that really, in the realm of things, hasn't changed anything. I would think that somebody should have found that, look, this is wrong. It was wrong what they did to him. You pardon somebody who has done wrong, and then you want to make them whole. Well, he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't break anything, God's law or anything. He was another human being and somebody he was dating. And we know what it was. It was racism out and out. So that's how I feel. I didn't jump up and down. I wasn't too happy about it. I wasn't sad about it. I don't see how we help him in any way. Dead and buried. But the thing is that there are people who are still alive, and my main thing is that cry and pray for the dead, but let's work and work like hell for the living, you know? And injustice is still occurring today as it was then. As a matter of fact, you see it everywhere in a different form, but it's there. It's there. When somebody jumped a subway because they couldn't make up the 25 cents. You may be wrong and whatever, and you take them to court and you find them $100. Well, if they didn't have 25 cents to put to the $2.50, how are they going to get $100 or $500 you're fining them? And then you put them in jail for the next 1 year. Where are they going to get it? Until you say, well, it's not a jailable decision, but not paying your fine is. That's a form of injustice, because that means it's a rule for the rich and then another rule for the poor. Mm-hmm. And who do they pick up first? You know, it wouldn't be the young man with varsity sweater. It would be a young kid from inner city that they're going to, because that's the contact. And that's how I feel.
Thank you. And we see that all of this apparently also a
blessing. Is it just me or are people here?
I heard somebody say something, but they were kind of really low in volume. Could they raise your voice up, or the man who was saying something, raise your voice up, please?
I think will come on right now.
It's hard to hear. They could use it.
Well, I'd like to say something. If you can hear me, this is Dr. Mustafa. I want to say that right now forgiveness is really critical right now in America. Forgiveness for all of the things that was done to black people from slavery. See, the judgment comes for those who abuse the children, the baby-minded people. And black people were baby-minded during the slavery time. We were like erased from our manhood, erased from our womanhood, erased from our culture. We were groping to find ourselves again. But still in that process, people abused us. They took advantage of our women, took advantage of our girls, and the men had to watch sometimes, and the women had to watch the men get slaughtered. So the fear was put in us. and we've been living by fear for a long time.
Something is on that's causing problems. You speaking, brother?
Can you hear me?
You can go ahead. Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yes.
What
happened? The fear that we've been living under has caused us to become very, very gun shy about being who we are as a cultural people, about being who we are as the first people on the planet, about being very historic about the truth of how even in Africa they sold us into slavery. But we don't want to talk about those things. All we want to do is talk about things that are like, you know, for other people did it, but black people did it too. And that starts this whole thing that destroyed the people who are in America as the African or the black or whoever we are as made up people, because we were bred down. We were bred down. We have to get our stand up. And only reason we're able to stand up now, because historically there's been people like the great Dr. Booker Washington, right? He set model in terms of the idea of education and do it for self under the real system. What was bringing out business models. Elijah, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he kind of followed through and was addressing that whole principle in another way. And Marcus Garvey came to the same understanding. And then today, we don't have people working on those things independently. We always waiting and believing that other people can do it better than us. And I'm going to shut up because I'll get going on this one.
Okay, well, the mic's open. So
hello, Mr. Washington. How you doing?
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Bianchi. We're fine. We're waiting for you. We're waiting for you, Mr. Bianchi.
Well,
go ahead and take it.
I think it was honorable what Mr. Trump had done. Like you said, Obama had an opportunity to do it. He didn't do it with Marcus Garvey. Chuck Berry was found guilty, was convicted of doing the same thing with a 14-year-old girl. Maybe we should take his statue down in U City. Maybe we should pull his plaque up that's in the Walk of Fame there in U City in Missouri and outside of St. Louis. And maybe the same thing should be done with Elijah Muhammad for his relationship with girls. They're doing that with other people. Bill Cosby and now Morgan Freeman, who played God. So the bias has come out. We always did say that there was biases. People didn't, like Mustafa said, you only want to hear one side of the story. The God of the Bible talked against her, giving your daughters to their sons and their sons, your sons to their daughters. We only want to be certain ways when it's convenient, rather than being true to the cause, no matter what it is. So that's where it is today. When you bring people to task on these issues, they get quiet. Rightfully so. We take down Confederate monuments, Lee, Stonewall Jackson, for notorious things that they were supposed to have done, but they were just Americans. They were a soldiers that fought in American wars. Not only did they fight in the American Civil War, but they fought in the Mexican-American War, the Spanish-American War. Elijah Muhammad called white people devil. Should we take his statue down, too, if he has one? Malcolm X done the same, as I mentioned earlier, I have before. And then again, you got some areas in Fountain Park in St. Louis, they're talking about taking King statues down because he's a womanizer. Don't bring those things into consideration. Anyway, I back off right there.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bianchi.
Have you
always
my
enjoy
name you. Is I'm Eli Hussey. I have a radio program on Blog Talk Radio on Wednesdays and Thursdays. The brother that was just speaking, first of all, we're not talking about this color consciousness, because color consciousness, whether you believe in yourself or your colors appear or not, it doesn't hurt anybody. You mentioned Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a Muslim. Muslims can have more than one wife. You understand? But Christians, they have a wife, but they got girlfriends. And we're talking about not what a person does as an individual. We're talking about what a person does that hurts a community and a people. And there's no comparison to what this Caucasian have done in the name of him being a white man to a people that was innocent. You can't justify that. You can't bring those actors up, and because they had affairs with other women, and put that on a whole community. You can't do it, brother. There's no such thing that you can't. It doesn't weigh out. If you put 25 pounds on one scale and 100 pounds on another, it ain't coming out even. So this Donald Trump, he went back and he pardoned the fighter, but that should have been done years ago. But he's the president now. He can come out against the brutality that police officers do on black people. He ain't doing that. He's a politician. And if you study the early history of politics, they ran on racist platforms. He ran on a racist platform. He brought racism back that was dying. He brought the races back. They voted for him. And now that he's the president of the United States, he wanna free Jack Johnson. What about the people today that he can speak out for that's suffering every day? Don't get it twisted, bro. You don't have the right understanding. You can't compare what a person does in his private life, what has been done and heaped on a whole community. There's no comparison.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. Elijah Muhammad is in the United States of America, where the innocence of a child is beyond anything else. So if you violate that innocence of a child, as is reported that happened, then you're guilty. You need to be punished for it.
But wait a minute, brother.
You were done.
Where did you get your facts from? You wasn't in
you
the
said you
Islam.
Did you
where
say
you,
you were done, sir?
From? You getting your facts from? You getting your
facts.
Facts from the white media?
Did
you
say
you don't know what happened?
Did you say you were done?
You weren't there. You were not there. You were not in that community, and you didn't know anything that was going on in that community. And we didn't let the white man in that community, so they couldn't have reported what was going on.
You said that you was done, sir.
Yeah, I'm listening to you, but you still, you make it.
Are you done where I can speak? Are you done where I can speak now?
You're making a lot of mistakes, and then now that they're
regardless
not based on
of
your,
what you,
on fact.
Regardless of you thinking that I'm making mistakes, is subjective to your mind. Now, are you done where I can speak without being interrupted?
Okay, go ahead. You can speak.
Now, as I said before, the man violated the innocence of underage girls.
That's not correct. That is incorrect.
You had two people that spoke.
Well, how can you prove?
You had two. You know, black folks always like to argue and have court on the street. That's why the police beat you all up inside the head.
This gets me.
The police been beating us in the head way before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
I can't say nothing because he don't want no. He keeps interrupting. I guess what Muhammad Ali said was a lie too.
You making statements that you don't have a clue. You don't have nothing. You don't have no evidence of what.
Well,
you
I'm getting ready to get to the clues if you let me. If you stop interrupting.
He doesn't know. So just let him speak.
Now, as I said before, I guess Muhammad Ali was lying. What do we believe?
Okay,
Chuck Berry was tried and found guilty. My goodness. That's
but
just
what
the people out of the organization said. And here's another thing. We talk this stuff about what white folks have done. You don't talk about the run that done was so bad. You don't talk about the things that they done good. Heck, if it wasn't for Harriet Tubman, she wouldn't have had no lamps for her Underground Railroad. And what she said was a lie about if she could have fared more. She never said that.
But you.
Another point. You can't be about God and Christianity when you violate what the God of the Bible say about mixing.
About what?
There are groups of people in this world that are ethnocentric. Many of them exist in Nigeria. We've been amongst the Igbo. They don't marry no Yoruba. They won't marry an African American. Now some will, some won't. That's their privilege.
But Bianchi, what is our point in all this? If President Trump.
Would
like
you let me finish saying what I got to say?
I thought you were finished. Sorry. And you know.
Now,
you can
as I was getting ready to say, if Trump done a good thing, what he done? That's what many people think he done. McCain wanted to do the same thing. So it's great. We talk. You people talking about what about the prisoners? People that's in prison today. Well, how would the president get them out? He would have to pardon them. What are they going to do, have another trial? So if you're saying that his pardoning of Jack Johnson was political, so if he pardon or get those blacks that's in prison today, that number's in the hundreds of thousands, well, wouldn't it be the same thing? Another thing, you talk about police brutality. Well, when you have a damn idiot, a savage running in your community that's killing and stuff, who you going to call? Blacks don't have men in their community where they can address that problem themselves. So guess what? They call the police. And because of your lackadaisiness of you being responsible civically and controlling your employees, you're going to have white police come out. And they're going to do things accordingly. They ain't not going to do it the way you want it to be done. And here's another thing. The person who is complaining about the criminal that has made them a victim don't give a damn how they settled it with that criminal. They want the police to be hard on them, bust their head. Police are not shot to shoot people in the hand. Have you ever shot a gun before? An automatic? We have people that's hard enough for them to shoot center mass on a silhouette. Less long shoot somebody in the hand, they talk to shoot center mass. That's the way I teach people to shoot. Center mass. Shoot them right in the heart. You shoot nobody in no hand and no leg.
You talk to shoot.
All right, I step back. That's enough for you
to
digest on.
Who is this black Klansman?
That's my question.
You are a black Klansman. KKK.
No, I'm black.
What is your problem?
I think we should have a problem is that we are all entitled to our opinion. If that's what he sees, that's fine with him. But I get upset a lot of times because he's on a lot of different shows. When you say you black people, so you, I was just wondering if you are, you consider yourself black and African American.
You want me to answer that right now?
Yes,
all blacks in this country are not the same. Another point. Ku Klux Klan, Well, I'm giving you an answer. That's the reason why I use that terminology in the way it's used. Blacks, and you got blacks on this side. Real quick, just like any other organization, from the Boy Scouts, the Church of God in Christ, the Ku Klux Klan have a right to exist. And some of their tenets, Marcus Garvey even, was adhering to. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just want to ask that question. When I use the word blacks.
Are you taught to shoot a mask to an unarmed person?
But I respect your opinion, and because we do have different opinions because we have different experiences, even no matter what you are. I think each president has things that they choose to do, and that's the reason they do it. My brother is one of the youngest trainers in boxing, Aaron Snow. He was just recognized in California for being that. And he has taken on the Jack Johnson exhibit is going to be, it was there last year in the Atlantic City Hall of Fame, and this year. And many of our people don't know, I know Murad, they're in the boxing game. And Trump was a boxing promoter. I've been to Trump Towers in Atlantic City.
Trump was not a boxing promoter. Trump did shows. He presented the venue for the boxing. He wasn't a boxing promoter.
Okay. Murad was the promoter. And
that's good.
Herbert Muhammad. My brother
Herbert Muhammad wasn't a boxing promoter. He was the manager of Muhammad Ali. He was not a boxing promoter.
Tom King was the promoter. Okay, thank you for correcting me. But my brother trained Mike Tyson. He had a lot of champions. He's one of the youngest boxing or some of the champions. And he started studying the life of Jack Johnson. Jack Johnson had many other attributes, too, other than boxing. He was an inventor. And you can go on, look up his thing. They're doing a documentary on him. And I know for me personally, I appreciate that it finally got done. That it was done, and it didn't matter who does it. And I think we're all being challenged at a time when our differences, that we're different, but we have to learn to become human in our differences. Because I think humanity is the things that are common between all of us, and all of us fall short, our leaders as well as us as individuals. And I think it's a challenge especially for the African American in these days and times, that we can't allow the emotionality of racism to hold us there for many other reasons. We have to start looking at what God created in the human being. And one thing we have in common is we're all human, and we all have human shortcomings and human aspirations that we should celebrate. In our darkest time.
I want to say something, if I could. This will help Dr. Mustafa. We should pardon Nat Turner for what he's doing to fight against the racism that was destroying black people. We should pardon John Brown for what he did in bringing his sons and going to battle against the ideas of having blacks enslaved. We should look at everyone who's a freedom fighter for justice and humanity, pardon everybody who's doing it, and we should pardon ourselves, because we need to start being real people on a real work, not talk, because the talk is empty. We got to do the work, and we know that work is out there. These young people in multicultural, different cultures now are acting like thugs and muggers and gangsters in all of our cultures right now. And what are we doing? We're not doing nothing about it because we'd have stopped the TV commercials and all the fictitious behavior through the movies that's depicting the stuff that young people are picking up on. So we have to get out of our own cynicalism and look ourselves in the mirror and be the change that we talk about we want to see happen. It's got to be that way.
And I personally think that we can't speak for other people. We can only speak for ourselves. Because there are a lot of young men and women and going to the streets and trying to correct some of the things that have been done, trying to give a new understanding to the it's probably not enough, but there are people doing something, and we need to celebrate those that are trying to do something and make a change. And, you know.
My question to the gentleman is, and after that I won't have any more to say, are you taught to shoot center mass to an unarmed person?
Am I taught to shoot center mass? If I feel a threat for my life, yes. I heard what you said. Why don't you let a person answer rather than getting into these long, drawn-out arguments? Not only do I shoot center mass, but I teach people to shoot center mass. Well, if there's a fear there, then they have a right. If there's a fear there, they have a right to address that fear.
You say if there's a fear there, what do you mean? If a person is unarmed, you have a nightstick, you have a weapon, you have hazers, and you have partners. And you have backup because you got ready to call in for backup. Now, if you have all of that and the victim is unarmed, you are told to shoot that victim center mass because you feel your life is threatened. That's what you said.
You know, we had a case here in Bell Fountains, Missouri, about maybe 3 or 4 months ago, where you had, and it's right next to Ferguson.
I
had a black
you,
man that was.
You. Does
Mister, you know, here's the point. You ask a question. You need to sit back and listen for the answer.
Yeah, because you didn't answer the question. I asked you, does the academy?
Well,
teach you
I listened to you. You asked me questions. You asked me questions. You asked me questions in the form of a parable. Well, do I not have the right to answer that question in the form of a parable too?
No, you do not.
No, you said.
All right, here's a simple answer.
You're
goddamn right, I do.
Well, I'm a former police officer, and that's not right. You can't do that. If the threat's not there, you can't escalate it. You have to be in a position where if the threat becomes a word, you use your mouth to kind of discuss with them, and you pull your stick as a first phase. If they have a knife, you can pull a gun, escalate. If they don't have a knife, you can't pull a gun. You don't do that. That's a coward move. I'm a
well, let me
cop.
Tell. Let me get.
Business.
Let me get back to what I'm telling you about. You had a situation in Bell Fountains, Missouri, where a black man was looking suspicious outside some storefronts, and one of the owners called the police. Two police arrived on the scene, and they wanted to question the man. The man didn't want to be questioned. They used another non-lethal means with their taser after a scuffle derived. The man snatched away from him after they used the taser. And as he was walking away, he turned around and pulled a gun and shot both police officers. So here's the thing.
Because everybody ain't going to take that mess off the police.
Here's the thing.
The thing is, you're a black man.
Here's the thing is that here they've been hollering about how police officers. Ma'am, would you let me answer my question?
No, I will not.
Well, you see how you are. Well, then, when you are pleading for your life, then they don't have a right to listen to your pleas. because that's exactly what this department tried to do, not resort to deadly force immediately. And it almost got two cops killed. And see, if you begging them to treat you in a certain way, at what point in time do you beg your savages that is doing things opposite of what you're trying to get done? You don't do it. Where is the groups that was out marching and hooping and hollering about Black Lives Matter? Where was they at in this case to tell this man that shot these two police officers, you're not supposed to do that? Because what you have done now is detriment the whole point of the movement. You don't do it. It's just like down at the Ballpark Village, Mustafa.
May I?
The Ballpark Village is a entertainment spot across the street from Busch Stadium, where the St. Louis Cardinals play. They had an open party. It was called Eat, Drink, and Greet. And you had a group of blacks there, about 200 of them. And one black man pulled out a gun, and I love guns. I have nothing wrong with guns. But listen to this. He shot, in an argument, he missed one guy and shot another man in the head. It just so happened that Minister Donald Muhammad of the Nation of Islam here in St. Louis had just done this man's wedding about 2 weeks earlier. But when this man, this black guy, shot this black man in the head, and you got 200 or so blacks there in that party, and nobody apparently seen nothing. No cameras rolling. No cell phone videos. Police is questioning and saying, what did you know? Nobody wants to talk. But if it had been a white police officer, the cameras would have been rolling, live streaming, and everything else, just like we hear this rhetoric going on here on this show. See, you can't live a double standard, but you do.
But beyond.
But you do.
Each individual case with police differently. And it's up to you. We shouldn't be racist about it, but experience in the community. We here where I live at, a young man was on, he was one of the players on the basketball team that went to the state playoffs. He was on his way to take his brother to practice. Not one police car, five police got out, pulled him over, made him get out of the car, searched his car. They handcuffed him in front of his 12-year-old brother, and they were going to handcuff the little boy. People happened to see it and was just watching. They searched his whole car. Then they didn't find anything. It wasn't until one of the police officers came and said who he was and to let him go. Then after they did all that to him, then when he got back in the car, when they told him he could leave, they told him, and don't tell your parents, don't tell your mother. So there's circumstances everywhere. And this, you know, it's being done on one side for racism, and on the other side for racism too. But in a lot of these communities, police officers are not they're people. In a lot of these communities, they get their jobs because they don't want to do anything else. They're young people that. Some of them fail at everything else, and then they become a police officer. So we have to change. I think we need to look at the qualifications that we expect of police officers, the trainings that they get, and many of them in the local small cities and stuff, they do not get a lot of extensive training. And you know, I mean, that, it's sad to say, but, like, again, we're here in this day and time, and we have to look at everything and see where things need to be corrected.
Are you done?
Yes, I am.
Well, let me say this. Police in a community are nothing more than employees. of that community. That community should demonstrate their civic duty and control your employees. You lay down policies and rules on how they're supposed to operate, policies and rules on how they're supposed to behave in certain instances. In many communities, the police are not allowed to engage in high-speed chases. In some communities, St. Louis City, if they have a suspect that's got a knife, they're supposed to get behind their car and keep a distance between that suspect. If the suspect with the knife get within a certain distance, then they got a right to shoot him and kill him. So that's because that's what that community wants. Ferguson was 70% black. Black people should control that community. You got Michael Brown's mother, Miss McFadden, Leslie McFadden, is running for city council. Well, let's see if those that was out there hooping and hollering, jumping up and down, marching and parading, let's see how they work to get the woman elected. Are they going to canvass? Are they going to work the polls? Are they going to put together a means to raise campaign funding? Let's see if this happens. Because the last election, last August, when the mayor went up for re-election, the long-standing mayor, Mayor Knowles, he won. Because blacks didn't come out and vote. So if they don't come out and vote, then what they're doing, they're demonstrating that they approve of what's going on.
Well, it's not a
hey, white folks' problem.
We have to.
You do
educated.
Have some black ma'am. Can I finish, please? You said you was done. You have communities around that area that dissolved their police department.
Right now, you're yelling also.
You have communities around that around Ferguson that dissolved their police department. All black communities: Jennings, Wellston. In Pine Lawn, I've seen Pine Lawn police during the time it was Pine Lawn, because since these communities dissolved their police department, they came back with a new organization called North County Cooperative. But when Pine Lawn was in existence, if whites drove through there, I've seen black police officers pull them over, make them sit on the side of the sidewalk, handcuff them, and ransack their car. So it goes on with them, too. I guess what I seen was whites.
So if you got
police officer in your community that's not operating the way that you would like to see them, then you need to work to change the attitude and the behavior of your employees, because you pay their salaries and wages. You are the one that's going to be affected when lawsuits due to liability and settlements come down.
Right. Exactly.
I'm finished right now.
Well, that's what I was trying to express, that we have a lot of educating to do, because as much as we talk about, I mean, how many committees and stuff have you sat on to set those policies? A lot of things we have to...
Is that a question?
I'm not finished yet.
All right. I'll say the answer for when you're done.
We set all these policies and stuff, and people have to... We have to do and have to learn our civic responsibilities. And we need to be compassionate, too, until we're going to get there. And it's not only in African Americans. Most, the masses of America is not educated on the particulars of their community, because it's not encouraged. So a lot of people have to... We have to learn those workings, exactly what you're saying. If you go to meetings, people aren't at school board meetings, people aren't at city council meetings, so it's a few electing people in positions that decide those things. And when the masses of the people learn and do, there will be a change. The more people that understand and they start going around, there'll be a change, because there'll be more people deciding on certain things. You're exactly right. There's very few people sometimes that make the decision on who governs them, and they have to learn the political process. And that's another point where we're at. There's a lot of things now that's coming to, and people are, you know, just coming to light that people are saying, well, hey, if I don't get involved, then things will happen. And it's almost like I can't say anything, but there's people that want to manipulate the masses also when they put out racist stuff, and they know there's already the climate has already been set. So all you have to do is say certain things, and you will ignite on both sides on any, you know, negativity. If you know, if you study people, you can know what to say to trigger stuff in them. It's just like when, you know, the word nigger was, you know, we weren't allowed to use it in our household. So it was, you know, and I taught my kids, don't let the word trigger you. So there's just all these things that as a society now that's supposed to be multicultural and things, when you come, they were some of the things that attracted people to the United States. And now we're saying we don't want any more from certain areas, but we have to see as Americans how we have benefited by going to Africa, going to Mexico and all these countries, getting what when you go vacation, what you've seen, you wanted to bring that back, and a lot of times the people were exploited to do that. So it's going to take time for, you know, because what we should do is help those countries help themselves. And the same thing within the United States. There's been a deficit in the minority communities of resources that a few have made the decisions on how they will go. And when people understand that process, then the resources will flow a different way. And I'm finished.
Well, the answer to your question, which you asked about 10 minutes ago, about whether I've sat on any committees. Yes, I have sat on a police committee for a black community. And we've done the things at the time to put policies in place. All police departments across the country are not the same. So you can't look at what's going on in one in Washington State, compare it to what's going on in Florida, compare it to what's going on in South Carolina. They're different. Police, the White House has no jurisdiction over your police. They have no jurisdiction over your schools to an extent. If your children are not being taught their civic duties, that's not Donald Trump's fault. That's the community's fault. Those are your children. If you don't want them to have that type of education, then they don't have it. One thing that I can give credit to Donald Trump and Bessie DeVos is their action on school choice, because you have accountable parents that do the right thing with their kids, and then you got those that don't do a damn thing like somebody mentioned earlier. Well, those who are accountable should have a right to take their kids out of that environment with those who are not accountable and put them someplace else that's suitable and that's in line with their plans for their child. Okay, a child needs to be locked down in no system. Same argument I had with Don. I said, you got Muslims in Mars 28 that send their kids to Catholic schools. They don't send their kids to the Muslim school over there on Garrison and Natural Bridge. Why? You have to ask them. I think I know why, but ask them. People talk things that they want others to do, but I'd be damned, they're not doing it themselves. And I think that's silly. You even listen to somebody that's talking that stuff. And racism. It's nothing wrong with racism unless you violate somebody's civil rights. If a person don't want you, your son dating their daughter and that child is underage, they got a right to say that. They got a right to do whatever's necessary to make sure that don't happen. Whites in Georgia. Whites in Georgia had a all-white prom. The prom was in a private setting. It wasn't in a public place. You got black organizations that don't allow whites in their meetings. So what's the difference? You can do that if it's not, as long as it's not public. It's not illegal. Show me where it's illegal to have more preference for your own child.
I've heard enough from the black Klansmen. You are out of your...
Thank you for cutting that noise off. So if people have a right
really
to live their life and they can set the standards for their children, if they once that child becomes grown, that child is on its own. That's the way it is.
Yeah, that's if you raise a child right.
If a white family don't want you, want your black child dating their kids, because I know black families that don't want their black child dating somebody else. I know African families that, as I said before, they're ethnocentric. Not only them, but around the world, they are. Even in your Bible, it's ethnocentric. Going back in ancient times, during ancient Egypt, Amun was ethnocentric. Men kept around to Tahuti Maze, went around waging wars, 17 battles, and he whooped ass in surrounding areas. That's history. Thank you.
Well, I think it's a good time. I think it's a really good time for us to play out the
I can barely hear you, Mr. Washington.
Okay. All right. Can you hear me better?
In and out.
Okay, let me
try on another phone. Yep. Can't hear you at all now.
Can you hear me now?
That's better.
That's better. Okay, well, what I was going to say is we've gotten to the point now where I think we've exhausted the topic. We do have a couple of people still on, but just a couple.
And I wanted to make an announcement before you got off of there, too.
Okay, well, let's do this. You go ahead and make the announcement.
I wanted to make an announcement and wish Mr. Mims of Mims Motor Corporation. He's trying to start manufacturing an electric vehicle here in this country that has 1,000-mile range. His website is Mims Motor Corporated, MimsMotorsCorporated.com, and you might go on it and take a look and look at the team that he has. And one other thing I want to make a mention too, I work with the.
Where's he located?
They're out of Nevada.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to check it out this evening. Actually, after we get.
And he's also have a Nigerian on his team, and he's got his team consists of some people that's in some problem that has bring skills to the table.
Yes,
and about three or four of them are whites. That's what you do. You bring skills to the table. And another thing I want to say, too, I work with the local National Society of Black Engineers organization. My grandson is a chapter head in the college he goes to. And I want to take my hat off. During the last two conventions, one was in Pittsburgh, and the most recent one in 2017, I believe, was in Lawrence, Kansas. That organization, we had represented about 14,000 black students, college students. You had a corporation we know of, Northrop Grumman. They hired 400 black students in 2 years each for a total of 800 in 2 years, engineers, because they was qualified. 800. And that white corporation that's also in the defense industry done recognize the talents and the skills that these African American students had, and they hired them. So they done something. The kids work hard. They kept their nose to the grindstone. They done their homework and all the things that they were supposed to do to meet the positions, live up to the positions that they hold. And this company hired them. Now, I would suggest blacks that speak this stuff about blacks need to have their own and all that kind of stuff, they need to put things in place where they can demonstrate along the orders of what not only Northrop Grumman done, but also the other corporations that was at these conventions that sponsored that education, that sponsored those conventions. In Chicago, you have some Nigerians that's doing some tremendous things. Nigerians are just as black as Wesley Snipes. You never hear them marching. You never hear them bitching and groaning and moaning about what white folks ain't going to let them do. They just go out and do it. You got a construction company called Ujamaa that's doing marvelous things. You got several of them, African-American construction companies in Chicago area that's doing marvelous things. You got them in the Houston area. You got them in the Atlanta area. They ain't talking about what white folks ain't going to let them do, that old crazy mess, white supremacy. So that is some examples I wanted to put out there. People need to study. And by the way, Nigerians make up about 40% of the National Society of Black Engineers. They're students. Just like Nigerian black males make up about 40% of the black male population at your elite colleges, your Harvards, your Yales, the MITs. As I said before, you don't hear them complaining. They go out and do what they have to do. And black Americans should study.
A lot of times it's because of the ones that you speak that
adapt. And when I'm speaking, when I have opportunity to speak with them, you don't get cut off like you do with some other people who don't like to hear that information for whatever reason. But anyway, Mr. Washington, I will step back and give up the floor. Thank you very much.
Thanks for sharing it. I love to hear it. We don't talk enough about what our people do, the accomplishments. We talk about the negative too much. Even some of these questions that have been on the thing, it's about the negative. If we promote the positive and we see more of the positive for us and our children, then things will start to change. But we don't hear enough of those things that you just said.
Well, it's the same thing with Donald Trump. You don't hear about the Granite City Steel here in southern Illinois, right next to East St. Louis, is reopening and get back to the 2000 employees that they have due to the fact of his tariff and tax cuts. You don't hear about in Missouri where there are two companies that's looking to open steel mills in Missouri, brand new steel mills. We don't hear about those things, which is made possible by the policies and the issues that Donald Trump campaigned on.
That's all well and fine and good. And then there's some things that other people that affect people adversely too when things are taken away. Because it wasn't the average person that took the companies from the United States. That was people that own corporations and stuff and put them in other countries, in Africa, and took away from the life there too. So we have to do all these changes now to change our thing.
Let me ask you a question.
That President Trump is in this day and time.
Should not black corporations take advantage of those opportunities to move their corporation overseas too?
And they have
Let me tell you this real quick. They do.
Hello?
No, I just want to say black corporations do the same thing. They take advantage of legal opportunities that exist. People complain about corporations, but they want to go out and start a non-for-profit corporation. the hypocrisy. But anyway, I don't want to get into arguments. And Mr. Washington, thank you for the show.
Like I said, I appreciate it because that's what we need to come on with more positive information so that it can be shared on the positive things that we do. Because everything that African Americans do is not negative. And that, you know, we talk about black African American schools and all that, they have produced a lot of the same caliber of students and human beings that some of these colleges, and we have to realize that the resources that they have, those colleges now are going after the best of the African American.
Well, they're supposed to.
They make their schools better now. One time we were locked out from that.
That's what they're supposed to do. That's why I come out for school choice. And you know another point too, Mustafa say he was a police officer. When I ask elderly blacks, age blacks, and many women, I say, what's your major fear in your community? Police brutality is nowhere at the top of the list. What's at the top of the list of them being criminalized by somebody that looks like them? Anyway, I don't say that I will leave two or three times, but that's the end of your show, Mr. Washington?
Yeah, we're going to play a commercial right now, and then we're going to give everybody that's still with us a chance to make a closing comment, and then we are going to close out. But this commercial, I want to wait till the end of most of the discussion, so we're going to play it right now. And then if anybody's still here, it's 2 minutes. Anybody still here that wants to make a closing comment, then we'll end after their comment.
And now a brief message from our sponsor. Reality Books presents Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. The author is Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A message that will change America. Buy your copy today. $20 is all it costs, plus $5 postage and handling. To order your copy of the book written by the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, send a text message. Include your full name and how many books you would like to purchase. Send to area code 706-399-5006. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A message that will change America. Send your text message, including your full name and how many books you would like to purchase, to area code 706-399-5006.
Okay, so this is about the time where we can go around and anyone that would like to make a closing comments, this is the opportunity to do so. We do, as we always do, ask that we be civil and don't jump on anyone, what they say, and don't jump into anyone's conversation until they're finished. So this is a chance to go ahead and say what's on your mind as we get ready to close. Any closing comments?
Yes, I would like to say something.
Please.
Well, first of all, we all know we've always tried to stand up for our rights. We've all, since we've been able to, we've voted, we've marched, we've done all sorts of things to try to change the wrongdoings towards blacks in our community. So it's not like we just pick up a gun and start shooting back first. We've done all kinds of things. And a lot of times, through the court systems and the state government, they are justifying these police in their wrongdoings. So then people have a problem when people are tired of this happening and they retaliate. So I just want to say from the bottom of my heart to all them racist police killers, I mean all the racist police who are killers, who just look to murder black women, men, and children. And the black Klansmen, they can all go to hell on some skis. And I hope that they get their just due one day. I really do. I don't have no respect for it. So there's nothing good about being a racist. We need to come together because we are all Americans. You know? There's no room for that, all that hatred and thinking that that's okay. That never solved anything. It's just ugly. And those are the real criminals, as far as I'm concerned. Those are the real criminals. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Let's pass it on to the next person who would like to make a closing comment. And whoever wants to go first, you go right ahead. Okay. Well, it looks like we've reached the end of our input, you might say. I think we've done a well-executed job of bringing our community, those that joined us tonight, together to share our ideas. We won't always agree, but we've had an exchange. We've got our thoughts out there on the table, things to consider, and we've been, for the most part, able to stay within the boundaries of being civil. We've got to work on that some more, but we're getting there. That's our whole point, is to bring us together where we can at least agree to disagree and to be kind to each other while we do it. So thank you all very much for joining us, who participated tonight. We want to thank our worldwide audience that tuned in on the Internet, and we hope that you gained as much as we have from the exchange tonight. So we'll meet again, God willing, on next Saturday evening, 8 o'clock Eastern time, and we'll have an appropriate topic based on what's going on in the black world at that time. So thank you. God bless. And now we close with our traditional closing music.